Good morning, Symphony Church. Happy Thursday. We are continuing and closing off the book of Ruth today, and I'll be reading for us Ruth chapter 4. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me, that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech, and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day." Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went in to her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than 7 sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the woman of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. Something my friends often like to poke fun at about me is the fact that during my early years of adolescence, I was a self-proclaimed hopeless romantic. I might blame it on the books and the stories that I grew up on, or I'm just growing up kind of lonely, but no matter the reason, I held on to this notion of this picture-perfect romance. You know, over the years, the daydreams, they would always change. But whether it was castles and dragons or study halls and late night phone calls, no matter the setting, one thing was always present in these daydreams. I was the knight in shining armor. There's something that I think a lot of young boys in particular really yearn for, and that is to be the one to rescue the girl, to save the damsel in distress, or to console the crying crush. There was always something about that which captured the emotions of the young, hopeless me. And in our passage today, at the conclusion of the book of Ruth, we see this dynamic play out between Boaz and Ruth. After their faithful meeting at the threshing floor, where Boaz promised to redeem Ruth and to bring security to her and Naomi, we see Boaz enact a sort of plan to fulfill his promise. He meets the redeemer that is actually more eligible to redeem Ruth, and he parlays with him. Boaz ends up playing his cards right, and the other redeemer says yes to the land, but no to Ruth, which meant that he actually forfeits his claim as redeemer. And then, it's happily ever after. Boaz redeems Ruth. He rescues her. Everyone present at the gate approves of their union and blesses them. And Naomi finally gets to breathe a sigh of relief as she rests assured that she and Ruth will be taken care of. It's truly a picture-perfect romance. And it's no surprise that actually for young Dan, the book of Ruth was a huge favorite. I remember for a long time, I would read through the book of Ruth and say, wow, what a godly, humble, reliable man that Boaz was. I want to be more like Boaz. And it actually took a while before I kind of looked past the romance and I realized that more so than Boaz, the person in the story that we should most aim to be like is Ruth. Throughout the events of the book of Ruth, Ruth remains steadfast and faithful despite the building uncertainty. When Elimelech died and left Naomi widowed, and then when his sons Mahlon and Chilion died and left Orpah and Ruth widowed as well, Ruth boldly chose to stay with Naomi. When Naomi returned to Bethlehem without much of a plan, without knowing if they were actually going to find something there that would help them, Ruth patiently followed. And all throughout this season of worry and seeking and wondering, Ruth remained still and showed great faith and obedience. I think often we want to paint ourselves as the heroes of our story. We want to be the one who pulls off the great success. We want to be the one who others look at and approve of. We want to be the reason we get that happily ever after. But there is great worth as a follower of Jesus in seeking instead to be the receiver. We should learn from Ruth and faithfully wait on the Lord to not take matters into our own hands and seek all the answers and the solutions by ourselves, but instead to walk in obedience, trusting the big things to God. Rather than being the hero of our story, we should seek to be the admirer, the one who relies completely on the hero. You know, it's worth noting that while Ruth wasn't the hero of the story, Boaz actually wasn't either. Boaz was also faithful in playing his part, yes, but in the end, the orchestrator of his happily ever after was, of course, God. We see through the story of Ruth how incredibly God can work to bring peace to his children. How through the faithful obedience of people like Ruth and Boaz, God can bring about his perfect will. Boaz and Ruth would become part of the lineage that extends through the ages and arrive centuries and centuries later right back at Bethlehem, where Mary and Joseph would welcome in the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, the ultimate hero of the story. This morning, can we take some time to give glory to God and to wonder and marvel at his amazingness? Can we lay down any of our own desires to take matters into our own hands and to rely on ourselves? And instead, let's be content with obeying in faith that God will continue to work in our lives and through our lives, and that he'll take care of us. Let's pray. O Lord, you are good. You are so much wiser and more capable than we could ever be. Lord, we thank you because you have authored this reality that we can take part of, that we can enjoy, that we can find hope for the future in. Lord, would you remove in our hearts any desire to try to be the hero, to try to write our own story? Instead, may we faithfully obey day by day and trust that you are working in us, that you are writing our story, and that you are taking care of us. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.